Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back.
Greetings, Star Wars fans.
Little hiatus, but we're back
Yeah.
for episode 87.
87.
87 of 14,605 and counting.
We're getting close.
And we got some heavy stuff to cover tonight.
We sure do.
We got Bad Batch season finale. We got Mando, the last three episodes, five, six, and seven. That would
Yes.
mean chapters 21, 22, 23.
Yes.
My quick math there.
That was good, quick
Yeah.
math.
Right, eight episodes per season, do the math, take away one, last three, boom, 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 good to go. Boom.
Wait, can I carry the one on
Yeah, you can carry the one. Yeah, you can carry the one. Do what you need to do. All right.
that?
Do what you need to
And
do. Then they don't do math like regular people anymore in schools.
no,
You
they
see these
don't.
TikTok videos and stuff, like all these weird ways to do, like, I'm like, that is more complicated than just freaking busting it out. Like, get your multiplication tables, remember those, and like, do
You know what's really funny
it.
though is when you look at like the Common Core and how it's supposed to work, I do that in my head normally. It's weird.
I look at these videos, man, and it's like
Like,
the
let me.
stuff
Well,
that you're trying to do, I did it in my head three times already before this is
yeah,
done.
like, I guess I'm thinking like when you're trying, because I can, I mean. I don't want to deviate too much. You know how we go.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, okay, I'm going to tell a quick story. When I was a kid, my dad took me to an Indians game,
Right.
and it was me and my friend Josh, and my dad, and I can't remember who else. There's always four of us because we had four tickets. My dad had season tickets with a group, so we would always go to games, and it was the club. There were club seats, so it was like really
Cool,
not like
nice. Yeah.
fancy stuff. But that's just what he did with his friends. That's how they ended up doing it. So anyway, we were walking through the club section and they had an Indians hat. It was a really cool looking hat and I wanted it. I was like, "Dad, I want to get that hat." He goes, "Okay, here's how this is going to work. You tell me how much that hat is going to cost with my 20% discount and you figure in tax and you get it right by the fifth inning, I'll buy it for you." I did not get the hat. As a
Womp
12-year-old, okay.
womp.
Head math. I was like, that's some serious head math. He
That's
said, no problem.
serious head math. All right, the 20%, that's not too bad, but then the tax too.
Tax.
That's rough.
Tax also, yeah. So we're talking like, okay, so I'm 12. That's let me see, 84, 90, that's 1996. Let's say it's like 96, 97, somewhere in there, okay? There's no cell phones with calculators. He's like, no pen and paper. You figure it out.
No pen and
No,
paper.
no pen and paper. He said, you get it close. You've got to
So
get it. You've
basic,
got to
I'd
get
have been
it
like, Dad, just
spot
tell me you don't want to buy
He, now, rightfully so, was teaching me a lesson of you can't just always get something when you go somewhere. You know what I mean? Like that, which is, it
the
was a good lesson. But the lesson that he taught me that I don't think he realized he taught me was that I am super damn good at head math now, like that.
So along those lines, very quick story. So my dad used to pick me up from school a lot, and we used to go to McDonald's. And it used to be, well, on the east side, it used to be this old school McDonald's where what was it, Euclid Beach Park or whatever the hell it was, that old school park. So there was a McDonald's right there. I don't know if it's still there anymore. But anyway, we used to go to that one, and we used to go. And we used to order blah blah blah, and you go to the first drive-through window, and that's where you give the teller your money. And before you go there, you order. All right. So we order, and then my dad would say, "All right, I'm gonna give this lady a $10 bill. What's the change? And I had to figure out the change before we got to the window. And, you know, they don't have them anymore, I don't think. But back in the day, they used to have like the little sign to tell you how much change that you're getting. I had to figure out the change. Okay. I had to figure out the change before that popped up. So, so we used to do that like almost every time we went to McDonald's. Probably he realized this, but that kept me sharp in head math.
Oh yeah.
And I still do that to this day. Like if I just happen to be behind someone and they're paying with cash and I see what bill that they're giving the teller, the cashier, I'll figure out the change before they punch it in.
Yeah.
Like it's super easy. So we
go to stores, Val and I go to stores, and she'll pick something up and she'll be like, oh, how much is this going to cost? And like, I've already like, I'll like figure stuff in my head as we're going along, picking up stuff, you know, just roughly.
Yeah.
And I'll look and I'll be like, okay, do. And I do like I do 10% tax and I cut back. Like it's weird how I do it, but I know how to like overestimate just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have enough. So I would just boom, get it. And then the cashier would say, okay, here is your total. And Val would be like, Jesus. I'm like, I wanted that damn hat.
It all boils down to the hat, ladies.
Yeah. But like when you look at the common core math, it's weird because I don't do the common core like as detailed as it is. But the way they do things of like, okay, so you're like at 37 and you want to get to like 72. So you go plus 3 to 40, plus 30 to 70, plus 2. That's 35.
I did 35 within a second of you saying that. Like, I don't understand. Right, like, what? That
I was explaining it.
Yeah, so right. It took me longer. I would fail.
But I mean, I guess that's the gist of how it works. And sometimes that's how I do it in my head quickly. It's just how my mental gymnastics of getting there. Like, that's how I try to like do and go for it. I don't know. I still think it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird the way they teach math nowadays. But,
people just need to have parents who are like, all right, figure that out. Go. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
Well, Bad Batch. Or smooth transition there.
Back to the show.
Yeah.
We're looking at Bad Batch, the finale, the double finale.
Yeah. And I'm thinking Tech is dead.
Nope.
I kind of think he's dead.
We have a rule in all of the shows that we talk about. Did you see him die?
We did not.
He's not dead.
However, you know, over this past amount of time that we've been off the show, the Star Wars celebration happened in London, in England. Mm-hmm. And they announced that the next Bad Batch season will be the last. And they were talking a lot about the sacrifice that Tech made, Plan 99. And I'm thinking they were trying to make like a Rebels Kanan moment there. And when I watched, I'm like, what the hell did I just watch? When that happened, and I think he might be dead.
So, I would be with you in all of that. However, the hell's his name? Hemlock had his goggles, right?
He did, yes.
He's not dead. They have no proof that he's dead. They're like, hey, there's his goggles. Take him back and show him to the guys and be like, hey, look, we have his goggles. He's dead. They're going to be like, oh my God, you got his goggles. He's got to be dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. I don't think he's dead.
I don't know, man.
He's going to swoop out and be like, what's up, MFers? And just like,
I think he might be dead.
Yeah.
I just don't see the way that this show is going. I don't see there being a super happy ending by the end of next season for Bad Batch.
Another counterpoint. We have three seasons, right?
We
A
do.
trilogy, if you will. Did Empire Strike Back end happily?
It did not.
Did Return of the Jedi end happily?
Yeah.
I rest my case.
I mean,
If you're gonna
yeah.
do two solid, if you're gonna do three seasons and you're setting up like this is it, we're doing three seasons and calling it quits, you've gotta have the middle be kind of dark. Be like, oh dang, they're gone. I don't think he's dead. This is good though. This
We'll
is
see.
we have division.
I don't know. I was thinking about it. I'm like,
Speaking of
oh, he's
math.
not dead. We didn't see him. But then I was thinking about it like, man, that would just kind of ruin that moment of that season if he's not dead.
I don't know about that. I don't know if it ruins it.
I think it makes it more powerful if he's dead, dead. Like
In
I said,
that case, they should have. In that
like a
case,
Kanan Rebels
yeah.
thing.
I
Not to
don't.
that degree. Yo, when Kanan died,
Oh,
I
damn.
literally had to stop and sit on the couch in silence for like a good 5 to 10 minutes
I agree, but you knew he
to
died.
like,
There was definitive, like, oh shit, he just got torched. He's dead. He is legit dead. There is no coming back from that
he got
move.
barbecued.
He got barbecued. He's gone. Kanan was gone. I didn't get the feeling like when he fell, I was like, he's gonna survive that. He's tech. And if you're saying that the sacrifice, it would be ruining the sacrifice, then why did they let Princess Leia force fly back to the ship?
Okay, why? See, all right. So you're being divisive there. So
Yeah.
we weren't even talking anything about sequel trilogy yet.
No, we
Didn't
weren't.
mention the Force, didn't
We
mention Leia, didn't mention
no.
anything. And here you come.
Her sacrifice,
Here you
now, if she would have died outside of that ship, that would have
Here you
rallied
come.
everybody back.
Here you come in here just trying to, bring it up again. Huh?
It
This
was a good example. She got sucked out into space. It would have been like, oh dang, they killed General Leia. We need to rally around her sacrifice here. This needs to happen. No, she's somehow survives space with the Force and was lame, so I'm sorry. Him falling like that doesn't ruin his sacrifice. Him surviving makes him more of a straight up G unit to come rolling back in to wherever their secret base is, because I don't have it written down and I can't remember the name of it. But he's gonna come rolling back in there and scoop up what's her name? She called him Brown Eyes. What's her name? Why can't I remember her name?
Fee.
Yeah, he's just gonna roll back in and be like, "What's up, baby?" And they're gonna have little babies, you know, little clone slash human babies. He's not dead.
Irregardless,
He's not dead.
right? You're out of line for bringing up the
I
fourth part.
am not out of line, and if I'm out of line, I'm still right. He's out of line, but he's right.
You know, we weren't even talking about that. And
But
here
we
you
were talking
come.
Star Wars, and we were talking about sacrifices and ruining the sacrifices. I felt it was very appropriate.
Fine.
Right.
Fine. You know.
So
So,
I
yeah,
have to
go ahead.
point out, and I change the subject, in both of these series, we get interesting project names. Project Stardust. That's Death Star. Project Necromancer from Mando. That's relating to the Emperor trying to bring himself back to life through cloning, right? Two very interesting project names. And what's cool about it, I think, especially about Project Stardust, is like we're seeing a lot more now, like how the Death Star was built. That's a cool aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And to give it a name like Project Stardust is like, oh, that's what the Empire is calling their Death Star plan.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of dark because it's like, yeah, Stardust, you blew a planet up. It's Stardust.
Wow.
That's just...
Wow. I wouldn't even have thought of taking it there, but you did.
Right.
Wow.
But I bet you whoever came up with that name was like, it's cute, right? Stardust. Wow. Alderaan. Wink, wink.
Wow.
And everybody in the room probably threw daggers, but were like, okay, fine.
Wow. Wow. I don't know. Well then, okay. Now, the second to last episode of Bad Batch this season, Saw Gerrera.
Right? Man, screw that guy.
What a dick, right?
Yeah.
You know.
What did I write? I put F Saw Gerrera. That's what I put.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, Bad Batch, they got this plan, you know, they're going to blow up the shit, you know, they're going to handle things. And then here comes Saw Gerrera, messing things up. What the hell, man?
If it wasn't for him, everything would have went to plan.
Yes.
Well, okay. Here's another point. The tech's not dead.
Okay.
Follow me here.
All right, I'm following.
So the whole crew, they're on their mission.
Yep.
They're, you know, Saw Gerrera, boom, creates this chaos, which ends up where Tech falls to his death by saving the rest of his team. They get off the planet. Fine. Okay. They go back to Sid, who has turned them in. I put that B. That's what I put down. That B. And now, all of a sudden, they're all
yeah,
kind of like on the run in a weird way. But okay. Omega, of course, got captured. Shocking. But if Tech had been with them, if, you know, say they really got captured or something, Tech's with them. Okay, he's not with them now, so he can, like, he's kind of like a, what do you call it? What am I trying to say here? Hemlock sees, hey, Tech's dead. We got this team. We don't have to worry about Tech. He's kind of like a rogue now. He can kind of sneak up on them unawares to kind of help them get Omega. Because Omega's going to go back to that planet, to the lab, right?
Right.
So what's saying Tech doesn't get back there somehow?
There is
hope. It sets up an interesting thing for him to show up in the final season and catch everyone unawares.
There is hope, yes.
Yeah. Not a new hope. This is not a new hope. This is like a, I don't know, not an old hope.
Like,
I got nothing. It sounded good in my head, and then I lost.
This is like regular hope. This is regular hope for not a new hope. Not like, you know, this is regular hope that Tech is still alive. I've read a lot of things like, yeah, we've been saying it too. Like, if you don't see the body, you know, they can still be alive.
Yeah, and Saw somehow just like ducks out of there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, I just screwed you guys' plans up. Peace.
Later.
And I put Saw Gerrera. Damn. Saw ducked out and left them hanging. Dude just effing torched their homing beacon stuck on the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting how he turns out to be such an important character later on, Rogue One. You know, but yeah, damn. Saw.
Yeah, because he's become older and wiser, but he still doesn't realize he screws things up.
Yeah.
Well, he's a bit selfish, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, you know, not, I wouldn't even, he's, I feel like as we've seen him from Clone Wars to Rogue One, he has become increasingly unstable and super paranoid. Like the more we see him, the more he's like looking over his shoulder like 10 times.
Yeah.
Especially in Andor.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, can you blame him though? But yeah, no. In Andor, yeah.
When you're when you're doing that kind of like deep spy kind of stuff for that long, that's gotta just wear on your mind.
Yeah. And Sid too. Speaking of dicks. Yeah. But with Sid, well, though, with
Sid, you spell her name backwards and put a K on it, and it fits.
It does.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does. But I mean, with Sid, though, you saw, you can see that one coming.
Oh God, yeah. As soon as they left her, like left her hanging, and just were like, "Nope, we're not working with Sid anymore." I was like, "She's gonna turn them in the second she can."
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that one was coming.
We're in a weird place here where the Bad Batch, they are kind of on the run-ish. Omega's gone. Well, not gone. She's been captured. Crosshair, he's kind of stuck, and Tech is missing.
Yeah.
Oh, let's call him MIA.
Okay, he's missing.
So we got Crosshair's a POW, and Tech is MIA.
Yeah. So. Interesting, though, before the, kind of like before shit hit the fan in that last episode, Hunter kind of gave Omega like the choice, like, hey, which is interesting because this was kind of like, I feel like this was the first time that Hunter really accepted, like, hey, maybe we need to get out of this life. Maybe that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Omega, like, we can go back, you know, to that other planet, that other world, and have a new life. You don't have to worry about being soldiers anymore. You know, we're kind of down two people, right? We don't want to be down anymore, right? So maybe this soldier thing, maybe it's time for us to, you know, hang it up. Like, it was interesting because that was like the first time that Hunter, like, we can classify him as the leader of the group, correct?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first time he really, like, verbally, like, accepted, like, hey, maybe it's time to get out of this life.
Right.
And then, of course, Omega, oh, no, we got to, you know. And then role she gets
reversal.
Yeah, right. Right.
She's so like, we need to save them. I'm like, you're going to get captured. You should have just left, like Hunter said.
Yep. Yep. And
what's interesting, too, is if you think about the conversation they had before they went to, well, to find Crosshair, really, you know, they were like, well, what if he set us a trap again? And you got to wonder that since they got ambushed the way that they did, I mean, even though they saw Saw Gerrera, I mean, you almost have to wonder if they think that he'd set a trap again.
Yeah.
If that's in the back of their mind, like, you know, did we stumble upon Saw Gerrera? You know, is that what really caused this? Or was there another trap kind of set with that? You know, or was that the trap?
Yeah.
They've got to be a little paranoid too.
Yeah. But the good news is, right, Omega's captured. We kind of got like a big three of Hunter, Wrecker, and Echo.
Yeah.
Kind of that's going to be leading the way at the beginning, at least, of the next season, which is the last season. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting because even though Echo can kind of, you know, maneuver his way around technology, he's not Tech.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting, that dynamic is how they're going to be operating, you know, being this three. You know,
right.
So,
And it, you know, what's interesting too is you'll have Omega in the same area as Crosshair.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Wow, I just thought of this. Okay, here's a third tech option.
A third tech option.
Okay. He's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's not missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
Hemlock actually has him stored away like Crosshair.
I
knew you were
going there, and I kind of thought of that too. I'm like, that could be an option.
Shit.
I actually like that option.
Because that puts three and three. You've now got Crosshair, Omega, and Tech in one spot, and you've got Wrecker, Echo, and Hunter in another. You got two teams of three.
I actually like that option.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll move my needle a little bit.
Yes!
I'm going to say 60-40 dead and captured.
All right. And how about that doctor, that technician or whatever that was working with Omega who said she was a clone?
Emery Carr. Yes, Emery, Dr. Emery Carr.
Yep.
She's a clone. Which, you know, it was kind of hinted a little bit, but
yeah.
But that's going to be, that's going to be an interesting dynamic and in how they're going to play on that the next season.
And they're the only two female.
Yeah.
That we know of.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yes. That was a little, a nice little cliffhanger teaser, whatever you want to call it, to end the season.
Yeah. You know, so I'm watching and this just episode.
Cut to black right after that.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm like, damn.
All right.
There goes Omega. Come on, Tech. I was like, Tech, dude, what the heck? And then I'm like, ah, Omega. I'm like, these guys are on the run. What the hell's going on? I'm like, there's Omega. Oh, there's this doctor again. She's a clone too. It was like that moment of like freezing, putting popcorn in your mouth. You're like, what?
Yep. And then cut the black. And
yeah.
Wait, see you next season, folks. Yep.
Don't do this to me.
Which is going to be the last season.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously we're in the cloning business here. Right. We got Death Star plans.
Yeah.
Obviously Bad Batch focuses on the cloning plans. Right. For those who are who were hoping that the sequel trilogy was going to be retconned or wiped out. Yeah, right.
Oh, damn. Hold on. Hold. Stop the presses. Before we go any further, I'm sending you something. I meant to send this to you before we started the podcast, but since we're switching to Mando, which I believe we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I made this for you. Well, not for you. I made this just in general, but
wow.
Thought you'd appreciate it. So this is the Trojan horse meme. You have the castle. If you're familiar with how the meme looks, there's the castle door. There's a guy presenting a Trojan horse, and there's people welcoming it in. So the castle is Star Wars fans. That's the population of the castle. The guy holding the Trojan horse is Dave Filoni. And the Trojan horse says the Mandalorian. But inside of the Trojan horse, you know how that works. There's always something hidden. Well, there's a double layer to it. So there's a mini Trojan horse that's had the Trojan horse. So it says the Mandalorian. The mini Trojan horse is called Clone Wars and Rebels characters. And inside that one is the sequel trilogy. Because that is what's happening here.
So we've talked about before. At least I think you agreed with it at least somewhat. I thought that after watching Clone Wars, the entire Clone Wars series, I thought that made the prequel trilogy better.
Yes.
Because you're like, oh, you get like, you know, it's not like these random characters anymore. They're in the prequel trilogy. Like in Clone Wars, you know, we get a lot of characters that had their roles expanded, their history and background explored. And then I thought, I mean, probably there's a consensus, I would think, in general, that Revenge of the Sith is probably the best out of the three of the prequel trilogy. I thought that Clone Wars made Revenge of the Sith that much better.
Sure.
So, in the same way, right?
Don't you dare.
In the same way, like, okay, argue with your mama. Don't argue with me. In the same way, here's what they're doing, right? Here's what they're doing. And we have the master plan revealed to us, right? Remember, I was texting you, and I said that, you know what they're doing? They're using Disney Plus. They're using Disney Plus in these shows to build value and to build up this the sequel trilogy. I was texting you that.
Oh, no, I know. You definitely were.
And then, like, I want to say, like, 15, 20 minutes later, I found a post where they were talking about that, the Star Wars Celebration panel, about how, yeah, we're using these Disney Plus shows to really bring the, whatever Kathleen Kennedy said, to bring the mystique back to the movies or whatever the hell she said, right?
Yeah, so I'm like, pull her ass out of the irons, out of the fire.
I'm like, so they're trying to do the exact same thing. They're going to use Mando. This has basically been, all right, this Disney Plus, this has basically been an experiment. Like, I hate to break it to you all, but here's the grand plan. Disney Plus has been an experiment. It has been a tool. We have been used, ladies and gentlemen. We have been used by Disney Plus in order for us to stomach the sequel trilogy better. There you have it. I don't care how you feel about it. Argue with your mama. Don't argue with me.
Argue with who?
Argue with your mama. Don't argue with me. All right? That's the way it's going down. We have been used, ladies and gentlemen. And I know you may feel upset and everything about it, but we have been used. We were thinking, oh, this Mandalorian series, oh, this is awesome. It's like a Star Wars Western, blah, blah, blah. Nope, it's all been a grand plan. It's all been a grand plan.
I mean,
to get us to appreciate the sequel trilogy.
I mean, you can put as much ketchup, mustard, pickles, relish.
Oh, lettuce, we're getting it all. Tomato. We're getting the extra bacon. We're getting the guacamole. We're getting the onions.
You can put all of that on a sandwich, and it's still a shit sandwich.
We know. You know what? We're eating them. We're eating them. Because that's what's happening. That's what's happening before our eyes.
I have faith in Dave Filoni. The sad thing is, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, like you said, look what he did with the Clone Wars. Clone Wars, Rebels, all this stuff. It's amazing. And for him to put his reputation on the line to save her ass and make the sequel trilogy worthwhile, that's a tall order. And I have faith that he'll do it. I don't like that they're validating that. I mean, yeah, but it is what it is. I mean, like we've talked about, there's things that I really enjoyed about the sequel trilogy. There are some really amazing scenes, amazing things that happen. I just don't I just don't care for it. I mean, outside of the original and the prequel. I mean, it's not as good.
Well, definitely not. Here's what's going down. Good to go. Here's what's happening. So at the Star Wars celebration that happened, we got confirmed that we are going to get a Mandalorian movie.
Was it a Mandalorian movie or was it just a Star
Mandoverse
Wars movie?
Mandoverse movie. Dave Filoni Mandoverse movie. Okay. That should wrap up Mando.
Yeah.
And tie together everything of, you know, the era.
So this is where I ask you, is this a... is this a tie together or a waypoint? Is this where they're saying, okay, we're going to bring Mando, Ahsoka, Andor, all these things. We're going to pull them together, do one Mandoverse movie, and that's a wrap, folks. We're not going to do this anymore. Or are they going to finally pull all the strands together, tie a nice knot, do this Mandoverse movie, and say, okay, we've connected everything. Let's move forward.
I think that from what I gathered, it's more of the latter. Like, hey, we connected everything. Boom, boom, boom. Let's move forward. However, Disney dollar signs, cha-ching. Hey, all right. I know we tied everything together, but is there any way we can milk?
Of course.
Some more out of this. Yeah. So I think, yes, I think it's going to be tied together, put everything in the bow, boom, this is connected, let's move forward. However, that's not to say 6 months later, they're like,
Mando season maybe. 4.
Right? So that's what I got from
the Grogu show.
Yeah. Just like, okay, all right, John Wick 4. I think that it's supposed to be like the ending of the John Wick series.
Well, and they're doing a ballerina.
Yes. That's in between John Wick 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
However, John Wick 4 has been the highest grossing of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I read like, oh, they're all of a sudden open to making more of them. So, a long way to answer your question or to answer your thoughts. Like, I think it's supposed to be put a bow on it. We wrapped everything up. We tied everything together to the sequel trilogy. Here it is. However, you know,
yeah,
like I said, 6 months later, they'll look at it like, maybe.
If the interest is there, they'll spend the money.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's finally gotten to like this head of like Dave Filoni with his characters finally coming back. Like, for instance, Zeb.
Yes.
Oh, Zeb.
I screamed when he came on the screen.
I'm like, oh my God, that's Zeb.
Yeah.
Zeb.
Yeah.
That was incredible. You
know, my neighbors, they only got like 2 more weeks with me, so deal with it.
They're gonna help you move out. Can I carry that for you? Can I help you move any faster?
Yeah, we got Zeb live action.
Yeah,
nice little cameo.
Yes, well, that's cool because we know what we're getting with Ahsoka. So they've already given us Zeb. Who are we? I mean, are we gonna get anybody else in the finale here? Or something? Is someone gonna swoop in here? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. The only thing that I can think of in the finale is if we see a live action shot for the first time of Thrawn.
That'd be dope.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. In these last 3 episodes, we've gotten quite a few cameos too. We've got Tim Meadows, Lizzo, Jack Black, and Christopher Lloyd.
Which, all right. The whole Jack Black, Lizzo, Christopher Lloyd episodes, that has gotten so much backlash from Star Wars fans.
Oh, I know.
Star Wars fans, Star Wars fans are notorious. They are notorious for being Star Wars fans. Like, they are, like...
ungrateful.
oh, Lizzo doesn't belong. Jack, why did they do this? Blah, blah, blah. And oh my goodness, this isn't Mandalorian. This isn't what I signed up for. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
I only think people are throwing the Jack Black name in there with it because they don't want to. They probably, if it would have been just him, nobody would have cared. But because it was Lizzo, it's like, well, we're going to trash Jack Black on this one, even though we love him, because we don't want to look like we're just trashing Lizzo.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I sent you sent you some screenshots, some receipts, I should say.
Oh,
I let some
man,
people
you sent it. Me. Yeah, all right, ladies and gentlemen. So when that, after that that episode aired, went on a social media comment rampage, ladies and gentlemen, and I got the screenshots. Man, this is it all stems from the Lizzo hate, right?
Yep.
And it's just like, bro, like, can we just enjoy the flipping episode? Like, that episode, it was one of the more, I guess, random-ish episodes. They had to go on a mission, yeah, right? At the end of it, you know, Christopher Lloyd's character, he turns out to be the bad guy. Like, he manipulated the droids to make them malfunction to their original battle droid function, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of it, you know what I mean? You know, they get knighted. Grogu gets knighted. That was fun, right?
That you probably know, ignited the fans even more, because it was like, why is she knighting Grogu?
Yeah. And then, you know, they meet up with other Mandalorians at the end because, you know, those Mandalorians were kind of hired to do, you know, dirty work across the galaxy, right? But, I mean, the episode was fun, right? The cameos were fun. Goodness gracious, Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And it gave a good chance to let Bo-Katan and Mando, or Din Djarin, let's be correct here. It's like saying Baby Yoda anymore.
Yeah.
Din and Bo-Katan.
To be fair, Greef Karga calls him Mando. I
mean, he does. No, yes, I know, but fair. She calls him Din. She's just like, Din Djarin. And she doesn't say it like Din Djarin. She's like, Din Djarin. She like spits it at him.
Yeah.
And
yeah, she does.
Well, do we want to talk about my sign-in name tonight? What we want to do? we can get to that. But this really, I mean, they could have done away with the whole episode. They could have just landed them and been like, oh, yeah, go on over and talk to them. Sure, you're Mandalorians. Have fun. But they put them on a mission, and without Grogu, too, notably.
Yeah.
And they put them on that mission because the whole point of the episode, the whole point of a lot of these episodes now with Bo-Katan has been to show the two of them together.
Yes.
And the kind of their relationship grow. So that was the point of the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they gave us three cameos. I mean, that's, you know, maybe a little stretch of lip service to Hollywood, kind of, but cool. I mean, Jack Black's a legend. Christopher Lloyd's a legend.
Yes.
They had already teased that he was going to be in an episode.
Really? You know? I didn't see that.
Yeah, because there was a lot of jokes going around about him being the Mandalorian.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Doc Brown.
Yeah.
So, but like this hate at Lizzo really pissed me off, because it's like, you people saying she's a bad actor. I was like, okay, go on. Somebody walks to your door, knocks on the door, and says, "Hey, you're a huge Star Wars fan. How about you get a role in this show?" Oh my god, that's amazing! And then everyone's like, "Dude, you sucked. You're a terrible actor. How are you gonna feel about that?" I mean, give her a chance. Let her. I mean, how many like musicians have gone into like an acting role and having never acted before, and maybe like the first couple they do are terrible.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying she was terrible. I don't think she was terrible, but many of them go into that and have like awful performances and they continue to go and then they become better?
Yeah.
You know, so lay off.
Along those lines, just like a quick aside, but I think either on the air or we talked off the air about wrestlers going into acting.
Mm-hmm.
And this conversation just kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I was thinking the same thing.
Batista. Yeah. So I watched Knock at
we
the Cabin.
We did talk about this on air now that you talk. Yeah, we did talk
I
about
watched
this.
Knock at the Cabin. And
yeah.
His character is amazing. Like, from when he started acting to now, like, there was a, I think we talked about, I saw a post, like, who's the better actor of the three probably yeah, biggest named actors,
or
Rock, Cena, and Batista.
Yeah.
After watching Knock in the Cabin, I'm going to have to give it to Batista because he has so much range than the other, so much more range than the other two.
And
The
it's
Rock,
interesting.
His character is the same. He's a good guy who never loses. That's lame. Yeah.
Yes. But I mean, to give The Rock some credit too, I mean, from like The Scorpion King, which I think was his first on screen, he brings an energy. And he doesn't have to be good at acting. He's the energy. It's The Rock. He is who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean he's not a good actor, because I think he does a pretty good job with his roles, but he does play the same kind of characters. I mean, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a way. Arnold Schwarzenegger always played the same character. You know, they're not, and like Sylvester Stallone a little too.
Yeah.
They're not terrible actors. They're just, they are who they are. You know, Cena does a good job.
Cena does a really good job.
He's got some chops.
Yeah.
But Batista, yeah. I mean, even like, okay, so
this this character Leonard that he plays in Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah.
Like, he makes the movie, I thought. Like, he
I'd seen the preview and it was like, oh, this is interesting. An interesting role for him.
That character makes the movie.
Nice.
Like, if you can watch it, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that movie because of his character.
Yeah.
Like, it was an awesome role. Like,
even, you know, even the character that he had in Glass Onion.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was still a good character, too. It was, I mean, it showed some depth in certain areas. But, I mean, yeah, but everyone starts somewhere.
Right, exactly.
And she wrote a thing about how her dad took her to Star Wars movies and introduced her to them at a young age, and her dad was a huge Star Wars fan, and how this was like an honor for her. She was like gushing, honorable, like, it's an honor to be a part of this universe, to have this opportunity. I wish my dad could be here to see it, you know, really big, like, and people are just like shitting all over her. And it's like, stop being horrible.
Stop it.
Fans.
Stop it.
Exactly.
Star Wars fans are just there.
Well,
Star Wars fans are great, but like, man, they have a deservedly earned reputation of being, yeah.
Gatekeeping. That's a big one there. You know, being so pretentious. That's a good word too.
Good grief.
It's sad.
Right. You know.
I ended that my rant on that Facebook post that I shared with you with a thank you for your cooperation. May the force be with you. I have spoken.
Now, speaking of the end of that episode, I found a funny
Oh
little...
boy. I'm just gonna keep That's good. That's so true. You can give it a blade and leave.
Yeah. So I've been saying, like, since the middle of this season, or since the start of this season, like, Bo-Katan's going to take over, right?
Right.
Just how are they going to do it? You know?
And we talked about that in the episode that he brings up how, you know, she took the blade from him and saved his life. And I'm like, she should have kept it. We talked about that. Like, she should have kept it.
Yeah.
And that's how,
like,
Bo-Katan's
going to take over, right?
Yeah.
Right. Right. So then they meet up with the other Mandalorians. They say, oh, this isn't your crew anymore, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, well, let's fight for it. You know, because that's what Mandalorians do. They fight things and, you know.
Yeah.
Right? And then they yield, and then dude's like, oh, well, you don't have the Darksaber. Like, what the hell are we going to follow you for? You know, basically. And then, then Jaren comes up like, well, excuse me.
Hey, everybody.
Well, I kind of got like, you know, got like jumped by this creature, and he took my blade, and Bo-Katan saved me. And, you know, with the blade, and she gave it back to me. So technically, she won the blade in battle. So therefore, the blade is rightfully hers, right? Yeah. I'm like, Dave Filoni, you son of a bitch.
And Axe Wolves is standing there. Look, he's like looking off into space, and he's like, "It's an old code, but it's an old code, but it checks out." He's just kind of looking off into space, like he's like, "Dude,
yeah,
this is the biggest workaround. Like, you should be a lawyer." He should be the Mandalorian. The episode should have been called The Lawyer, because he just like around them and
figured out. He figured out the way. He figured it out.
This is the way. He's like, fine, whatever.
Now,
yeah. Speaking of, I have spoken. Yeah. You get to see the Ugnaughts again.
Yes,
that's pretty neat.
And this is how they talk. I have spoken.
Yeah,
I have spoken. You know. And I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere and I forgot.
Yeah, I interrupted you with the Ugnaughts.
Anywho, yeah. Yeah. So, but we see them again, right? Good to go.
Yeah.
So we gotta moving along, all right. We get all the Mandalorians together. And that meme that I sent the other day about, you know, how they just settled into that new area that Greef Karga gave them.
Yep. Like, thanks for the land, but we're gonna go ahead back to Mandalore.
We're gonna
peace. We took care of your lame ass pirates.
Yeah. 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 You know, Carl Greef. You know, we We appreciate the hospitality, but yeah, we're gonna go. We're gonna take back Mandalore. Yay!
Awesome. Hey, thanks. Shit, they just left, guys. We're we're screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait till the next big pirate comes along. Mando, we need you again.
Yeah. Right.
So we get to the seventh episode, the penultimate. The penultimate.
Ooh.
What's it?
That's pretty heavy, this episode here.
Yeah, you know, this is Bad Batch and Mando both on their penultimate episodes have served up these kind of like you're pushing to the finale. It's not so much a banger. It's more of like it's a set yeah. move for the spike.
So here's where we're at, right? So they figure out, all right, we got to go back to Mandalore. Okay, good to go. All right, so before we go down on the planet, right? You know, we ran into beasts and all this other stuff, so we got to send a scout team basically down there. to make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So who's going to go with me? Right?
Everybody.
At first, Cricket. And I will go. Din Djarin. I will go. Sasha Banks. I forget her name that she plays.
Yeah, I can't
remember. Character. But Sasha Banks / Mercedes Fernando now these days. But Paz Vizsla. You know, goes the armorer goes, right? You know, so they send their scout team down, right, to the surface of Mandalore, and they run into these this old ship,
yeah,
right. And then there's a different crew, or the old crew of Mandalorians, and
they recognize Lady Krees.
Yes. And so they mean, who was that? Who's the actor, the black actor that plays? I was like, oh.
I didn't look it up, but I'm guessing you did.
Oh, I'm gonna look. Mandalorian. All right, as I type to find this, right? So,
speaking of actors, if you want to look for a second, I could have a little aside.
Uh-oh.
They mentioned earlier Commandant Hux, and he's the one running Project Necromancer, and he is it Admiral Hux from the sequel trilogy?
I think it's supposed to be...
It's Domhnall Gleeson's the actor. And I think Commandant Hux was played by... it's his brother.
Yes.
Basically. So brothers are playing two Hux characters. One of them is the father of the other. But they're brothers in real life.
Right.
And I thought that was a neat twist. Because I was like, Commandant Hux, that name sounds familiar. And then I was looking around, poking around. And I was like, oh, they're the brothers. That's pretty crazy. Kind of like, that's not the same. Never mind. But yeah, so go ahead with the.
I'm trying. I can't find this name.
Okay.
I'll find it eventually, at some point.
But they said we'll lose comms shortly. And I'm like, this is what I wrote. We'll lose comms shortly, a.k.a. when we come back up, there will be a fleet of Gideon's cronies destroying our fleet. Like, hey, losing comms is a great way of saying, oh, something bad's going to happen.
And lo and behold, that's
something bad happened.
Right. So a couple of things. Grogu, all right, gets a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's IG-11. But he's rebuilt to be sort of a vehicle for Grogu,
which was cool.
Now IG-12 now.
Now for all the people who are listening, who are parents of young children, maybe not even so much young. If you are, I'm gonna say this for them. You're probably not gonna be familiar with this. If you're familiar with the show Bluey, okay, which is also on Disney Plus. There's an episode of that show where Bluey begs her sister Bingo to buy a yes no button. And they use the yes no button with no, no, yes, 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 no, no. That's what Grogu has right here. He's got the yes no button, basically.
Yeah.
And every time he hit it, I cracked up because it made me think of that episode of Bluey with the yes no button.
Yes, 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 yes. No. <Yep. laughs>
Excuse me?
Like, man. This is not going to work for me.
And Aaron's like, what do you mean, no? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
And funny enough, that was Taika Waititi. It was his voice.
Yes.
Which is great.
So yeah, Grogu has a new vehicle, IG-12. Right? So we start to see the exploration of Mandalore and the underground and all this other stuff, right? And you alluded to no comms, no comms. Mm-hmm. That means something bad's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden, we see Moff Gideon and his goons of Mandalorian stormtroopers.
Yeah. Well, that Beskar wearing
that was pretty sweet, actually. Beskar armored
troopers, not Mandalorian. Let's call them as it is. Yes, they're not Mandalorians.
The Beskar armored troopers.
That's right.
I was
like, they don't know how to wield that armor.
I was like, that is badass. So that's what's been going down. Reveal, big reveal. That's what's been going down on Mandalore. Mm-hmm. That's where Moff Gideon has been, yep. Right? Whenever we had that, Moff Gideon breaking away or breaking free the Beskar, you know, alloy remnant.
Which, and speaking of, what's the word? Why can't I think of words tonight? Cameos.
Know.
We got Carson Teva again from Adelphi Base, and he saw that the shuttle with the Beskar alloy. So he's aware that someone wearing Beskar alloy liberated Moff Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But before that, before they head down there, Bo-Katan and Din had a special little moment, and I shared this with you. It was his speech where she's worried that she can't unite Mandalore. It's like this saber, like half of them don't even know what it is, and the other half probably won't listen to me. And he goes on to basically like build her up, like tell her how important she is. And he says, "Your song has not yet been written. I will serve you until it is." And he turned around and walked away, and she kind of looked after him, and the look on her face was like, "What did you just say to me?" And I said,
"So they're going to be banging.
They're going to be
season
banging.
That's what you're saying."
Well, we'll get to that. But
funny. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Well, that's where my name came in from signing tonight, which was Bo-Katan Deep Tingle Crees. She got that deep tingle with that line.
Speaking along those lines, I thought this was funny.
Oh, boy.
This is Grogu's master plan here.
Step one. How to be king of Mandalore. Step one, get knighted by the queen of the first and only planet that recognized Mandalore sovereignty.
Sweet. By Lizzo. Yep.
Step two, get a kick-ass suit of armor befitting of your station as a nobleman from Uncle Grief, whose planet is Mandalore's only real ally. Step three, get a fancy crown and convince Daddy Din to give the queen of Mandalore a kick-ass sword as your dowry. I love how he's wearing a crown. That's amazing.
I mean, think about it. Like, if, you know, Din and Bo-Katan, they start banging. I mean, technically, Grogu is,
now
in Mandalorian speak, is Din Djarin's son. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, could be next in line
yep.
to be the next king. I'm like, that's not as far-fetched as, you know, it may seem.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, they Bo-Katan and Din, they shared a moment there. And I think I think we make the shift, right? The show titled Mandalorian, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point right there, if it's one point, like if you've had doubts, like I think we make the shift where the Mandalorian, the title, isn't Din Djarin anymore, right?
This plays right into to Dave Filoni and his, hey, the Mandalorian, how about my Rebels and my Clone Wars characters? You know, bring them back. So now we've transitioned to
the
new Mandalorian.
We've made that shift where the Mandalorian isn't specifically Din Djarin anymore.
Right,
you know,
it's kind of like, in a way, it's like Spartacus, right? It could be, yeah. It could be anybody.
It could be any. This is like the Mandalorian, like the culture.
Yeah,
you know,
right. It doesn't have to mean Din Djarin.
Yes.
And so I had sent you an article that was talking about how someone thinks that he's going to be killed off. Had Paz Vizsla not been killed right before that, I would probably think, yeah, it's a possibility. But I think they did that to be like, no, we already killed off one Mandalorian that was supposed to be a big name, so we're good, you know. And I think they got to be careful here. If they kill off Din Djarin, we're going to have a Marvel fans react to Tony Stark dying, and this has ruined the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Crying about, oh, she's not the Mandalorian, when she's actually the only true-blooded Mandalorian, really. Let's be honest. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I'm against it. I don't think it would happen this season. However, I don't think down the line that it's not that far-fetched.
That they kill him off?
Yes. It won't happen this season. But down the line, whether or not they do another season or two of the series and then do the movie, I don't think it's that far-fetched, because you know why? They got that cute little Grogu, right? Whose species can live to be like 800 years old.
Right.
Right? Who can carry on the legacy. And if they're, well, not if, when they do their next series of movies, Grogu is the only character that would be alive at that point.
That's true.
Everybody else is dead. You know? So spoiler alert, you know, if you didn't hear the news, like Daisy Ridley, you know, is coming back as Rey. She's going to be a Jedi Master. She's going to be leading.
What?
she's gonna be leading the new troop of Jedi. You know, Star Wars haters. Mm-hmm. To go.
So here's my thing. I didn't particularly care for the sequel trilogy. I think we all know that. That doesn't mean I dislike. No. It doesn't mean I dislike the characters, some of the characters we were given. I don't dislike Rey as a character. It's not her fault that they decided in the third act to make her a Palpatine. That was somehow he returned. That's not her fault as a character. You could get
her really explaining that somehow through Bad Batch and through a little bit of Mandalorian too,
right?
With the cloning experiments. So, yep.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you could have good characters, but if the writing down the line takes that character in a direction that's not good, that's not the character's fault. So I mean, I like Poe. I thought Finn was a cool character because he's a freaking stormtrooper that jumped ship. That was kind of neat. I would have loved
to see that. Sensitive. Like, yeah. I mean, the actor, what's his name? John Boyega. Boyega.
Yeah.
Like, he's expressed multiple times that he's done, but like, I feel like if they just get him in a room. Because that was my biggest disappointment with the sequel trilogy. Like, you have this Force-sensitive former stormtrooper, and you just do nothing with it.
Yeah.
I felt that was a complete waste.
Well, and then you build up a character like Captain Phasma, who could have been a big character. Mm-hmm. That could have explored Finn's story a lot, because they apparently knew each other.
Yeah.
In their battle, okay. That was a huge letdown. Hux, that character, I mean, you get to the third movie and he's like, I was the spy, and they're like, you? And then they leave him and then he's dead. It's like, why would you just be like, we need to figure out who's been feeding the information. Yeah, just make it him. Who cares? He's gonna die anyway. They're gonna kill him. Like, that was terrible. Like, they could have milked that somehow in that movie. Like, they could have leaked that earlier. Or whatever. They could have done something better with it, okay? They basically took all this, like, good character writing and just, like, said, who cares? It's a trilogy. People will buy it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't mean I don't dislike the characters. I don't dislike the idea of where they were going with this. The execution of it was poor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so
Only reason I bring it up because we were talking about could Din Djarin be killed off.
Sure.
And I say it's possible because you got Grogu who can live on and possibly show up in these next series of movies, because he would be the only one that would be alive at that point.
And there was an interesting point in that article too that said Star Wars has a history of taking father figures and killing them off to benefit the growth of the younger character. Mm-hmm. They did it with Han for Kylo Ren. They did it with Obi-Wan for Luke. They did it. Well, Luke, that happened. A lot of it happened to Luke. Jeez, it was Vader died. You know, Obi-Wan died. His uncle Owen died. Aunt Peru, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. Anakin's mother. Qui-Gon for Obi-Wan. You know, yeah. There was a lot of like, that's a great father figure you have there. Be a shame if they died. You know, that's basically how they work it. So
yeah,
it's not far fetched that they would do that. But I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, I sent you another one too. What was that? I'm trying to remember now. Outlandish Grogu related theory.
Oh, about him being the one to ride the Mythosaur.
Yeah, that'd be I would love to see that.
Not far fetched at all.
No, I would totally love to see that.
Because we gotta go on a rescue mission, right? So So at the end of this last episode, right, Paz Vizsla, this is the way.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. So Paz Vizsla's going to work with his like machine gun that he has.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to work. And I'm like, how does he have all these bullets, all this ammunition? He's going to run out somehow, wouldn't he?
That over. Eventually,
he does eventually. But, like, you know, he's giving cover to all the other Mandalorians. You know, they take Din Djarin prisoner, right? And he sacrifices himself, right? And says, you know, you guys get the F up out of here.
Yeah.
Right? And then the Praetorian guards. When they came on the screen, I was literally the Leonardo DiCaprio meme pointing at the TV. That was me, like, for real.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Hey, sequel trilogy haters, like, it's not going anywhere.
I know.
Like, if you needed any clear-cut evidence, there it is right there.
Oh, this whole season so far has been a lot of evidence for them. I mean, you know what's happening.
But that's just, like, in your face, like...
Oh, sure.
You know, this, you know, First Order right there.
Yeah. Boom.
You know, so yeah, we're getting the seeds of the First Order right here.
Definitely. You know, it'd be interesting too. I mean, if they decide to do this, they could really explore like almost like in an Andor series kind of way. Do it, and I wouldn't. And this is gonna sound so cliche. I wouldn't do it this way, but do one for like Hux, where they show maybe him with his father at a young age, him going into the academy, and then hating it, and you know, deciding to become a spy. You know, that would be interesting. That could be compelling.
I think probably they're. I think they're more focused on Thrawn.
Yeah,
because we got him name dropped, right? In their secret meeting or whatever.
Yeah, the Shadow Council.
The Shadow Council.
Yeah,
like this Thrawn dude.
Yeah,
whatever. Right. I think they're more focused on him, and I saw this. I think I screenshotted it. About how Dave Filoni consulted the author of the Thrawn novels.
Oh, did he?
About how to through it, how about how to do it right, basically.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's cool. You know,
here, I got one more thing to share with you too.
Uh oh.
Here, this was interesting about the Ahsoka series. So this had to do with that character Ahsoka was, it was Ray Stevenson's character, the white haired bearded guy wielding the orange lightsaber, which somebody pointed that out to Dave Filoni, like, hey, that lightsaber is orange. It's not red. And he said, very good eye. That's very, he like basically said, not a lot of people caught that. Good catch. It's orange for a reason. Like, oh, like we're talking like, hey, this isn't red. This isn't, you know, clear cut like Sith. So, but this goes then to the Thrawn trilogy, as you were talking about the book, the Heir of the Empire book, and talks about this Joris Kaboth, I'm going to say, who is a clone from Palpatine. Joris was a clone created by Palpatine from a tissue sample of Joris Kaboth, a Jedi master who had died some 30 years before. So they cloned a Jedi, and he's this like advisor to Thrawn. And wondering if that's who this character is.
It makes sense. All this cloning stuff and, you know.
And it being in the Ahsoka series where we're supposed to see Thrawn, you know, predominantly, but like coming out, you know. So
Filoni, you son of a bitch.
He's smart.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's that was a pretty cool thing I found there. I was like, oh, this is really smart.
Yeah.
So I am, as you said, sequel trilogy haters. Yes, I'm probably lumped into that category. Probably, but no. As I said, if they make it work, that's fine. I want it to work out. I just didn't care for the movies, obviously. I don't think you like them that much either, do you?
We're not talking about me.
Right now. No, now we are. Spotlight shift.
How do you feel about the sequel trilogy?
I mean, they're not the greatest of movies.
And as much as now I'm gonna
I told you my thing was the whole Palpatine has returned thing. Yes. It's so random. And it's just like, all right, we're doing Palpatine again. Like,
yeah. I think in talking about it on the show, you know, my hate on it is more in jest. I didn't think they were great, but I hate when people hate on things just to hate on things.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it in the writing and things. Like, I don't care for some of the things about it, a lot of the things about it, but it's still Star Wars, is what it is. If they're going to tie it into what they're doing right now, they're doing a great job with what they have right now. So yep. If they run it into the sequel trilogy and it makes sense, yeah, cool. That's fine.
Where they're basically there. Like I said, we've been used, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
We've been used, you know, with these Disney Plus shows in order to make these sequel trilogies make sense.
Yep.
Right? And to build value into it. And to get ready for the next series of movies.
Yeah.
So.
I'm definitely not that person who's going, every time I see an article about the sequel trilogy has to like compulsively stop what I'm doing, tap on it, open it, and comment,
these movies are garbage, you guys are a bunch of blah, blah, blah.
Like, I don't have to do that.
They do play the sequel trilogy on TNT a lot. Man, they're really trying to shove it down our throats. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a food now that, let me see. Maybe as a kid, like Brussels sprouts. I mean, I love them now.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts are solid.
Yeah, sprouts are solid, man. Especially really good. Cook them in like some olive oil, like some salt and pepper, maybe a little garlic. Yeah, Brussels sprouts are, yeah.
I mean, I don't care for peas, but I could have peas. I mean, you can put peas in anything, and I'm not going to pick them out. But you just give me straight up peas, and you're like, hey, here's a bowl of peas. Pass. So it's like, eat these peas, damn it. It's like, I don't want to eat these peas. That's what it's like with forcing it down her throats.
Wow.
Think of a food you don't like. That's what it's like. You're eating that, right?
Mm. Oh. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what happens on Wednesday.
There's been articles that I've seen, like they're saying, like, yeah, we're gonna be cheering as fans in the finale. I have a bad feeling.
Oh, you have a bad feeling about this?
I have a bad feeling. I feel like my we're gonna get some type of emotional thing.
Yeah.
The end of this season.
Yeah. I mean,
now, how are they gonna top though the season finale from season two? How do you go bigger than that?
So here's a thought. This episode 7, started off with Moff Gideon and the Shadow Council.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, obviously him talking to Elijah Kane.
Yep.
That'd be rolling like double agent action. But he's talking to the Shadow Council and talking about Thrawn. Like, where is he? Where's Thrawn? Who's this dude you're talking about? We keep hearing the name. We don't see him. Who is he? Yeah, he's nobody. Blah, blah, blah. And so he's talking big. He's doing the, like, God, if you're up there, strike me with lightning. And he's gonna get struck with lightning, you know? So I think, you know, maybe something happens to Gideon from, you know. Maybe
Saying Thrawn's going to come in, pull out his big, giant blue willy. And say,
smack for the face of it.
that's what you're saying might happen in the finale. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's a good suggestion. I'm painting the picture now. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here's what's gonna happen.
Okay.
We're gonna get Bo-Katan's gonna pull together the Mandalorians. They're gonna storm and try to save Din Djarin.
Mm-hmm.
Din Djarin's captured with Moff Gideon. Moff Gideon and him are going to have a nice little back and forth. He's not going to kill Din Djarin because he needs Din Djarin alive to lure Bo-Katan in to ultimately capture her to get the Darksaber back.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs Grogu. So he's not going to kill Din Djarin. If he kills Din Djarin, they're just going to be like, all right, well, he's dead. We're going to go. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like, cut our losses. Let's go. So, okay, he's not going to kill him. If he does kill him, he's going to do it in their presence. You know, like, hey, you're here. Now I'm going to kill him. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to get some kind of event, whether it's Grogu riding the Mythosaurin, whether it's the Mandalorians overwhelming and taking out Gideon's troops. Gideon's not going to be killed in that moment. He's going to flee. And when he flees, he's going to be caught by Thrawn's forces. And that's how we're going to get the...
We're going to see Thrawn.
Here, you were talking smack about me. Come on over here, buddy. We're going to have some... We're going to talk. And he's going to be like, oh my God, you're real, you know?
Yeah. And we'll get that, like, teased about, like, oh, he's not. Oh, well, who's this dude? You know what I mean?
I think
Think this is the first time we see him before Ahsoka.
And it's going to be in the vein of Thanos of, fine, I'll do it myself.
Ooh.
Who knows? I mean, all those Shadow Council people, they could have connections to Thrawn, and Gideon's just the, he's the... What am I trying to say? What's the word? He's not the zealot. He's the wild card, basically. Like, you guys are all following this Thrawn dude. I don't know who the hell he is. Like, I'm doing my own thing. And they're all like, we need to let Grand Admiral Thrawn know that this guy's a problem. He's requesting TIE bombers. He's requesting interceptors. He's requesting Praetorian guards. He's a liability.
I just hope that it man, just the finale of season two was just so epic.
Oh yeah.
I just hope that it's not a a huge drop off from that.
You know,
because I don't know how I don't know how you get better than that.
No, but you know what would be really cool is if Thrawn's forces board and pull Gideon to Thrawn's ship, and he walks him up to his office, and he walks in with his back to us, and he's talking about all his trophies. You know, he has all his trophies and his cultural things. He was
really
big on that.
Yeah, he was. Rebels, do your homework.
Yes, exactly. And it would be interesting for him to be like talking and turn, and maybe he like turns to face Gideon, and you see some kind of like disfigurement on his face, because something had to happen when Ezra pulled him light speed with the force whales. I'm just gonna call him that. Something had to have happened to him, so I think he's gonna have some kind of like disfigurement or some kind of mark to show like, yeah, he's been through some shit since we last saw him.
Let's see.
There we go. Thoughts?
I like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so
hopefully it's epic. It's epic.
Yeah. I think they're going to save Din Djarin, and Moff Gideon's going to flee somehow and just be scooped up by Thrawn.
Yeah, I think Din Djarin makes it through this season, absolutely. Because I think, you know, he still has a contract, you know, so good to go. So
yeah, I would love to see Grogu hop on the Mythosaur, though.
Yeah, that rumor or that theory isn't far-fetched.
Right, well, especially because I said
his connection with animals and like...
Yeah, you know, and that's what they mentioned in an article. It was like the Rancor, there was the like the rhinoceros type beast that was on Tatooine. There was that, you know.
Yes, that is not
different things.
That is not as far fetched as it might seem.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Finale coming this Wednesday.
Yes, which is the 19th.
And then after that,
we're going to be a lot of Star Wars shows.
Yeah, until Ahsoka in August.
Mm-hmm. Next thing up on our plates would be Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
Which got those tickets.
All right. Here we go.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm usually sitting in the theater and I go, oh snap, I turn and I'm like, these people don't know me. But I'm gonna be able to be like, oh, did you see that shit? And you're like, I know, I saw that shit. And people are gonna look at us like, shh, I'm like, shut your mouth, we're excited.
Shut up.
You shh.
Damn it. Be excited.
Yeah.
Dick.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I was the last two movies that I went to. Things happened and I laughed out loud, and I was the only person who laughed out loud. And I'm like, come on, people. That was hilarious. But you don't know.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I think that's wraps up the show for tonight. We got kind of a short one tonight.
Yeah.
Relatively short.
Relatively short. We didn't go off on too many tangents.
Well, when Knights started with a tangent, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, we reeled it in with tangents pretty good.
Yeah.
Today. We did a little math. We did a little wrestlers turn actors and
a little math.
Yeah. You know, our tangents weren't that large tonight. That's the key factor. That's the factor of us having an hour show and a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
Is the tangents we go on.
Yeah.
So we kept the tangents in check tonight.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But Who knows what's going to happen?
No next promises time. Next week or next show. You know, we got the finale, and then it's a whole big wrap-up and thoughts of season three, and then where we go from here.
I'm gonna have to start in the summary or description of the episodes. Like, I'll just put kind of a, hey, the guys talk about this. I'm gonna have to start putting like a brief summary of the episode and put TLDL, which is too long, don't listen. Instead of too long, don't read. TLDL, here's the summary.
Yeah.
Or you could listen. Please listen.
Yes, please listen, please. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, may the force be with you. We'll see what happens on this next episode of Mando. And that's all we got for tonight.
That's all we got. Good show coming next week. The finale. Yeah.
Be ready.
And where we go from here.
Yes. All right. Well, for Bullseye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.